This is my Bible.
I am
what it says I am.
I can do
what it says I can do.
I am a believer,
not a doubter.
I am a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith cometh by hearing,
and hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
All right,
well,
you can go
in your Bibles
to Romans 8
and 28.
I'm actually going to read it out of the
NIV
translation.
And I want to talk
to you from the subject,
or we want to talk
to you from the
subject of
relationships
without
regrets.
How many know
it is possible
to have a
relationship without
regrets,
even if
you've been through some stuff
before?
And
I think, Lady LaConte,
that almost
everybody, if they've
been married long enough,
they've been through some stuff
before.
Right.
Right. But
hopefully you're not regretting
your decision.
Well, no,
I wasn't saying that.
Okay. No, I know
you weren't. Oh.
I'm just saying. But yes,
there are times where
you go through things, and
I'm going to
be good today, I promise.
Only 30
seconds into it.
But
you go through
things in marriage,
but, you know,
again, it doesn't get,
hopefully doesn't get to the
point where you're like, why did I do
this? Right. Because well,
that's what we're going to
talk to them and
help them about.
Right.
Because
it is
possible to
have a good
relationship
and
not regret
it, right,
even if
you've gone through some stuff.
And I said
that on purpose because
I'm going to show you
some things. Let's
read the scripture.
Romans 8 and 28
says, and we
know that
in all things,
everybody
say in all things.
In all things.
And that is
that's the operative
part of this verse,
that in
all things,
God works
for the good
of those
who love him.
How many love him?
Hopefully everybody in the house
who
have been called
according
to his
purpose.
And so the Bible
says that in
all things,
including
our relationships,
right,
you got it?
Even
if they aren't
where you want them to
be right now,
the Bible
says
that to the
degree that we
love him and
that we know we're called
according to his purpose,
and I'm going to
add, making sure
that we're doing our part
and doing what the
word teaches us to
do,
that all
things can work
together for the
good of those
that love the Lord,
right,
including our relationships.
Absolutely. All right,
so what I want to do
is, before I just
jump in right
into,
relationships
without regrets,
you know, I want to
just spend just a
few minutes
talking
to those that might
be, you know,
having a challenge
in that area.
And if you're having a
challenge in that area,
it doesn't make you a bad
person. Right.
Because
truth be told,
if every married
couple would be honest,
everybody's had
challenges before. Absolutely.
Everybody
has experienced things
before. Right.
And so I
think that
the key
is
no matter
what it looks like,
that you have to stay
in faith.
Absolutely.
That
you can't
give up.
You can't
quit.
And
so
to those
that may be
having some challenges,
or maybe you're
just needing it to
get better,
I have
some what if
questions.
Everybody
say what if.
What if?
So
instead of
saying what if
this don't work,
or you know,
and going
down the
negative
side,
you got to go
down the positive
side. Right.
You know,
what
if God
healed your relationship?
How many
know it's possible?
Right.
Yeah.
What
if God showed
you your purpose
together as
a couple?
How many
know that's possible?
Yeah.
And
that's really what,
it's about,
because
a lot of
times, if we're not
careful,
one side,
I got my
goals and the other side's
got their goals.
Right. And that's
why they never
work out, right,
because they don't come
together
and find out
what is our purpose
together. Right.
And even in
finding out our purpose
together, it doesn't
mean that there's not
some things that you're going to make
happen, right, or
some things that I'm
going to make happen.
But we understand
that our purpose
together,
you know, and
right, so we flow
together,
we roll together,
right,
we agree together,
right, and
everything flows from that.
Right. And
again,
we're here to push
one another towards that
purpose.
Right. Because
sometimes, like you said,
we have different
angles or different
responsibilities in a
relationship, but we're
going to still
push that other
person to be the best
that they can be in whatever
that purpose is. So.
Right.
Like
when I'm
down there pushing you
for worship.
Right.
You're there.
Are
you picking on me?
No,
I look for you.
If you're not doing,
I'm like, okay, what are we doing
wrong if
he's not lifting his hands?
But
I always lift my
hands.
You do,
but I look.
Oh, see, now
you shouldn't have said that,
because if one Sunday
I'm focused on
my lesson, I'm not lifting
my hand, they're going to be
looking over like, uh-oh,
something's wrong.
No,
but I
look for you.
And
also, when
you're preaching, I'm
there saying,
amen.
And
I'm looking for them
amens. Yes, you are.
So when
you're over there talking to
Veronica and y'all ain't
paying attention to me,
it hurts my feelings.
That's
only after church.
Yeah,
she always tells me
that. Praise the Lord.
All right.
So
what if God healed
your relationship?
What if
God showed you
your purpose together?
And
what if God
used you
to make
a difference?
Everybody say,
what if?
What if?
And
I believe
that that's possible.
And I believe
that God wants to
start that today.
Yes, he does.
God. I believe he wants to start it today, all right? Lamentations 5 and 21 says, bring us back to you, God, where we're ready to come back. Give us a fresh start. And so no matter where you are in your relationships, God can give you a fresh start. I used to say that he's a God of a second chance, but I quickly changed that to he's a God of another chance.
Right.
Why? Because how many have messed up more than 2 times?
Right.
More than 7 times. So he's not just a God of a second chance. He's the God of another chance. And so anytime you need another chance, God is always there to give you another chance. That's a good place to give the Lord a big hand praise.
Time and time again.
All right, so let's jump into it. Relationships without regrets. And I believe that one of the keys to having relationships without regrets is ultimately doing your best in the relationship to make good decisions.
Right.
I think that's the, you know, life is choice driven. We are where we are because of the choices we made in the past. We understand that. If you don't like where you are, there's no use in crying about it. There's no use in getting upset. Don't cry over spilled milk. The whole key is start making better choices. And if you make better choices, they'll put you in a better place.
Right.
And so I think, go ahead.
And I was going to say, decisions aren't always just about, they don't always affect only you.
Right.
Your decisions are going to affect more than just you. They're going to affect your spouse. They're going to affect your children. So make sure that you're always taking that time to really calculate, you know, before you make that decision, because we can't be so quick to make decisions because you never know what the good or bad consequences could be as a result of that decision.
Right. So don't make selfish decisions.
Right.
But make decisions for the whole unit,
whole
for
unit.
A whole family. Right.
Right.
And so, and I believe you have to make good decisions, but along the way, you know, it's inevitable, you know, there's going to be some bad decisions that have been made.
We've made some.
Yeah. And I think that the key is that you have to admit it and quit it.
Right.
You got the whole thing about revelation is when you know better, you do better. Does that make sense? I mean, you know, there's, you know, if we're going to make this thing work, and we understand that it takes two to make a thing go right, that if we find ourselves, you know, if I've made a mistake and I say, hey, that's my bad, I'm sorry, you got, I ain't going back down that road before. You say, okay, no problem. We in this together. We're going to roll. You got it? But you're not, you know, if you get upset at me next week because I left my shoes in the middle of the floor, you're not going to bring up what I apologized about last week. You got it? Because we have, you still think about my shoes in the middle of the floor?
No. I'm saying right.
Oh, okay. And so, no, because I think that it's the key. I don't know why you're messing with me. But I think the key is moving forward from where you are.
Right, because it's quick to always bring up what you did last time.
Right.
Because it's fresh on your memory. We just went through this like last week. You know what I mean? So you can't keep saying, how long are you going to before you change?
Right.
Even though you may start making progress, sometimes you may have relapses.
Right.
So you can't hold that against the person because they may have, you know, forgot this one time to leave their shoes in the floor. So you have to always make sure that you're moving forward, you know, and that they're emptying the dish out in the sink. They don't leave the dish full in the sink.
She ain't talking about me,
no,
y'all,
because
that ain't me. Brother man is clean.
He is clean,
clean.
But some people leave, you know, the food in the bowl. Like, rinse it out, you know, and then put it in the sink. Don't leave all the spaghetti sauce in it. Okay, anyways. But, you know, but if they start, okay, I'm going to rinse my bowl out, and then one time they forget to rinse the bowl out, you're not going to say, okay, every time you keep leaving stuff.
Well, you know what's amazing? It's amazing how something that small can turn into something so big.
Right, right.
Because like, let's just be, isn't that right? I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not trying to be funny, but it's just a bowl.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, it's just, you know, and of course, you have taught me in the relationship that I have to calm down. And
right.
I'm not the, you know, she's not talking about me here, but
right.
I'm just saying. But it is amazing because the Bible says the small fox that destroys the vine.
Right.
So, you know, you leave out of here today, you're like, okay, all right, we lady and pastor, they got it straight. We know what we got to do. And then you go home, and then, you know, you got done eating, you had some good chili, there's some chili in the bottom of the bowl, you set it in there, you understand?
And it dries up.
Yeah, and so, and, you know, and so you say something, you got it,
right.
And instead of just, you know, letting it go, you got to say something. Okay, so you got to say something, just say something.
Right.
All right, but then leave it alone after
that.
You got it, because it's so amazing how that will turn into an argument and then bringing stuff up from the past, you know, and then the other person that put the chili bowl in there is like, how in the world did we get to this? I mean, I just put the bowl in the sink. And I think that we have to make sure that we don't allow the enemy to come in through the chili bowl.
Absolutely.
Isn't that right? Don't let the enemy come in through the chili bowl or the cereal bowl.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
No, because I'm saying if we're not careful,
right.
You know, because not like I'm, you know, Lady LeConte will tell you, I like things a certain way.
Right.
But over our marriage and having kids and time, I just realized everything's not going to be like that.
Right.
And I had to learn to accept that. You got it? And you know, and you can ask Lady, she's like, no, he has done really well with that. Because there was a time, like, I just thought, like, I get what y'all are saying, but why can't you just do it? But then the Holy Spirit said, like, why are you fighting it?
Right.
You know? So, like, right now, my garage needs to be clean. So nobody can come to my house right now till my garage is clean. But I ain't at the house fussing about the garage not being clean because it's my job to clean the garage.
Right.
You got it. And so Hannah's got all her horse stuff all over the place and shoes and everything. And you know, but we've been busy. There's been a lot going on. So I'm just, so every day when I walk through, you got it, and I see it, I don't let it bother me. I say, you know, next week, I'm going to clean this up.
Right.
You know, and right. So, you know, a family came to the house. They came through the front door. You know, they didn't come through the garage. You understand what I'm saying? And so you have to learn how to, in your mind, you know, get, because it really is the small fox sometimes that destroys the vine.
But I think at the end of the day, you have to communicate.
Yes.
If you're having an issue with the chili bowl, say something.
Right.
Don't just be silent about, you would clean this bowl out. Well, he don't know that it's aggravating you, or she doesn't know that it's aggravating you. You have to make sure that you're speaking what it is that's bothering you. That way the person can then try to make the adjustments to make you happy, because I'm sure they're not going to do it on purpose.
Right.
You know, if they know that it's kind of getting up under your skin.
Right.
So you have to, at the bottom line, just have to communicate.
Yeah, communication is key. Right. And I think, you know, that's what we have taught even our children. Because, you know, and we get it, our kids are growing up and they have all these changes and so much going on. And I've really learned that, you know, patience is really the key to help your kids get to where they're going to go.
Right.
Because a lot of times you're frustrated. I know I've been there, but it's like they don't really want to be doing what they're doing either. And they're trying to figure it out, too.
Right.
You got it. And so we're trying to work together, you know, with them. And so, I've learned, I've taught them, though, hey, it's no problem. If you're having a rough day, Dad ain't mad. It ain't no problem. Sometimes Dad has a rough day. But it would probably be good for you to at least tell me instead of walking around.
Right.
And I know something's wrong and it's bothering me because I know I could probably help you fix it. So I just need you to let me know. And our kids have done really good with that. You know, if it's just one of them days, that's all they got to say. They don't have to tell me everything.
Right.
We don't have to have no big spiel. Just, you know, if Jay says, hey, Dad, everything's good, man. It's just one of them days. Okay, bud. All right. No problem. I give him a hug. You know, and let him work through whatever it is that he has to work through. And I think that is the key.
Oh, absolutely.
You got it. That is the key. We just have to learn how to communicate.
Right.
All right. So let's talk about three things that you need to do if you're going to have relationships without regrets. Everybody say number one.
Number one.
All right. Number one, you have to set a God first priority. You have to set a God first priority. What kind of priority?
God first.
So a God first priority. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 36 through 39, they're talking to Jesus, and they say, teacher, his disciples are asking him a question, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. He says, this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you notice, Jesus shows us that you have to set a God first priority, that the first thing you have to do is love the Lord your God with all your heart. And I believe that from that, everything flows.
Absolutely.
You got it. And so our spouses are to get the overflow of our relationship with God.
Right.
You got it.
Right.
Like if I'm treating you mean and I'm treating you bad, I ain't praying.
Right.
Ooh, it got quiet.
It did.
I'm just saying, like, if I'm always being mean to you,
right.
Like, I can't be spending no time with God.
Because
if I'm spending some time with God,
right.
God is going to tell me, okay, son, now, you know, you need to calm down a little bit. Right. I mean, the Holy Spirit talks to me. I would imagine that he talks to all of us. Isn't that right? Yeah, because y'all real quiet. But anyways, our spouse is to get the overflow of our relationship with God. When the vertical relationship is right, then horizontal relationships will be right.
Right.
And I think that that is the key.
Right. And I think it goes back to what we talked about on Tuesday night, that we cannot forsake that time with God.
Yes.
A lot of times we let so many other things come in and take time away from us. We have to make sure that we are, you know, making sure that we make that time for our devotions, for our prayer time.
Right.
Because he's going to really talk to us and help us in areas that we know are already concerning us.
Right.
And that's going to help us how to, you know, maneuver through life. So we have to make sure that we do not neglect that personal time, because
right.
that is where our strength is going to come. That's where questions get answered.
Clarity.
And so clarity, yes. So we have to make sure that, again, when we're right with God, we can then be right with everybody else. So,
right. Yeah, that's the bottom line. If my relationship with God is flowing, then other things will flow too.
Right.
If my relationship with God is not flowing, then other things will not flow.
Right.
And so I think that that's just the key. And watch this. And now it doesn't mean that somebody won't have an off day
right.
because their relationship is flowing. But I'm talking about typically.
Right.
You're not just always going to be, you know, on 110.
Right.
You got to always flying off the handle.
Right.
Because then, you know, that's an issue.
Right. And the thing is, you know when it's lacking.
Yes.
And so that's when you have to say, okay, let me just go sit down somewhere.
Right.
Don't wait for somebody to tell you that you're off. You already know when you're off. So
right.
go ahead and handle it and get yourself back on track.
Yeah. You know, and I think that, we talked about it last time when we were teaching together, that marriage is not about finding the right person as much as it is being the right person.
Right.
And I think that that is really the key, that I am doing everything I can
right.
to be the best husband I can be to you.
Right.
Does that make sense? And I think that's, you know, because so now I'm not spending my time picking you apart.
Right.
You got it. Because how many know that that's easy to do?
Oh, yeah.
It's easy to pick somebody else apart.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? But my thing is, it's not so easy to pick yourself apart.
No.
You got it? And so I think that, but the goal is for me to take care of me
right.
and to be the best I can be. You
right.
got it? And ask God to help me. And then if you're doing the same thing, then I think we come together and everything's okay.
Absolutely.
You got it? So God, we have to set him as the first priority in our lives. And so we do that by spending time with God and then by praying for each other.
Mm-hmm.
You got it? You know, and that's big. Let me tell you why. Because you, see, let me talk to y'all and get y'all to understand something. This is what I've learned. You only pray for people that you really love and are concerned about.
Mm. Yes.
No, I'm telling you. Most people don't pray for their enemies.
Nope.
Most people don't pray for people they don't like.
We say get them.
Let's just be honest. They don't. So, but listen, if you have a loved one, okay, just think about somebody that you love, right? It could be your spouse, it could be your brother, it could be your sister, just, you know, your pastor, you know, just somebody you love, you got it? And you know something, you know, is going on with them. You get concerned.
Right.
And you are going to pray.
Right.
Why? Because you pray for
right.
people you love.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right.
And so I think that that's big in the relationship, that we
right.
have to pray for one another, because you pray for people that you love, and we want the best for one another.
Right.
Like, I want the best for you.
Right.
You got it? Like, when you know, I pray for you, you know, and then I pray for you on Sundays. You got it? Like, when it's time for you to sing and we're up there doing our thing, you know, I don't know how all that stuff works, but I say, Father, I think her vocal cords are strong, you know, and that she has the right pitch and the right tone and, you know, and those kind of things. You got it? You know, why are you looking at me like that?
Keep them coming.
I'm saying, you know, no, you do a great job. Don't she do a great job? Yeah. No, I'm not throwing shade.
No, I'm just saying keep praying.
But I'm saying, but I'm saying, because why? Because it's real important to me
right.
that you look good when you're up here.
Right.
Does that make it? And I pray for the whole team, but let's be honest. You understand?
Right.
I always pray for the whole team. But, you know, when my girl is up, I want my girl to look good.
Right.
Isn't that right, brothers? You want your girl to look good.
Right.
Ladies, you want your man to look good.
Right.
Right? And so that is just how that is.
Right.
So it's important that we pray for one another.
Right.
And then, and watch this. And so when I pray for you and I see you did good, it makes me feel good.
Right?
Right? Because I understand that I had a part in that.
Right.
I wasn't up here singing, but I was down there interceding.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right.
And I think that that's you know, and so, you know, when, you know, spouses have to pray for each other, you know, if they have a business or they have a venture that they're doing or their regular job because they're trying to climb the ladder or whatever it is, it's just so vitally important.
Right.
And if you learn to pray for each other,
right.
you got it, you'll keep the enemy out of your right. relationship a whole lot.
And I think it's comforting, especially for wives, to know that our husbands, that our heads are covering us in prayer.
Right.
Because to me, I mean, as a wife, it feels good to know that I'm not in this by myself. And even for a husband, you should know that you're not in it by yourself because you have somebody that's there to help you,
right,
to help push you and encourage you. You may have fell down, but we're going to help you get back up.
Right.
Because we're in it together in the long run. So
that's
you can't,
it.
You got to know that, you know, you're not in it by yourself. And it feels good to know that, you know what, he got my back. She has my back. And we're going to do this thing together.
Well, I think that's, you know, and you said wives, but I think husbands too, because, you know, my whole thing is if things are starting to fall apart, I got to know you with me.
Right.
Like, I got to know that. If I know you with me, everything is all right.
Right.
Sky's the limits.
Right, right.
If everybody's backing up, including you, then I'm not sure anymore.
Right.
And I think that that's where, you know, that's what makes the difference. And so that's real good. All right. So put number one back up on the screen. Number one is set a God first priority. Amen.
Yes.
All right. So number two, everybody say number two.
Number two.
All right. Number two, you have to invest in your relationship. I believe that it's tough to make withdrawals if you don't make deposits.
Absolutely.
Has anybody, you know, ever had the courage to go to the bank and tell them you want to withdraw $1 million? There's one in every crowd. All right. Why would you not go and take $1 million out of the bank tomorrow? Because you don't have $1 million in the bank. Does that make sense? Well, a couple of y'all might, but I'm just saying the majority of us, and by faith, I understand. I'm not talking doubt, but let's just be, I'm talking brass tacks, you understand? Yeah. And so what I'm saying is if you have not deposited $1 million, you got it, you can't withdraw $1 million. So why is it, do we think in relationships we can make all these withdrawals without making any deposits?
Right. Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Talk to me about it, somebody. Teach it. See? That was good. That was good. I had to teach it.
That was real good. I just think every day we should make deposits.
Yes.
You know, you start the day off. Okay, what can I do to make sure that, you know, if it's, you don't eat breakfast, thank God. So I don't have to get up and cook breakfast because we don't eat breakfast.
But, you know, I am changing.
No, not this week. I get up.
How old am I going to be? 42?
42.
I'm going to be 42. I think I'm changing.
Well, we're going to start around lunch.
Like breakfast. Y'all see what I'm working with, right?
Okay. And okay, but I do wake up. Okay, what can I do to make sure the day goes good for everybody? You know, so I'm definitely starting the day off making sure that I'm making deposits. Not necessarily saying I'm going to need something later, but that's just my outtake. You know, what can I do to make the house go smoother?
Right.
What can I do to make your day lighter, your load lighter? And it was funny because talking about deposits, you know, the other morning, I don't know if I had just got back from the horse show, but whatever, but I was in the bed. I had slept in a little morning, and he comes walking in with a coffee from Dunkin' Donuts. I'm like, oh, God, you are good. You know what I need, you know? And so I'm like, that is a deposit for sure. Whatever withdrawal you want, you can get it because I wanted that coffee that morning. That coffee came right on time. But the thing is,
watch out now.
But it was not an immediate withdrawal, but I was ready. But anyways, you know.
See, you playing me, girl. You playing me. She was flirting with me later on. I was like, why are you flirting? She's like, I was ready for you this morning. I was like, whoa, watch out.
Bring me coffee. You never know what happens.
But now I bring you coffee
he does.
All the time.
He does. Not that I need it, but, you know. But
you want it.
I want it, right.
Yeah, and it's okay.
But anyways, what was I saying?
You might want me to talk for a little while. 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter and the 3rd verse. The Bible said Jonathan made a Solomon pact with David because he loved him as he loved himself.
Right.
There was an amazing connection. And I know we're talking about marriage, but when you see this particular, you know, a relationship, friendship really in the Bible between Jonathan and David, it was amazing
right.
because they loved each other as they loved themselves.
Right.
Well, that's how you have to be in marriage.
Absolutely.
You have to love each other as you love yourself. You know, everybody laughs about, you know, my bear story, you know, like, you know, but I was going to do whatever it took
right.
to make sure that you were okay, you
right.
know. And so I think that is key. When we're talking about making deposits, there, you know, I think number one, you have to be intentional. Everybody say be intentional.
Be intentional.
Yeah, that's the key. You know, I tell you I love you on purpose.
Right.
You got it. There's things that we do for each other on purpose. Right. And so I think that it is important that, you know, I'm intentional regardless,
right.
regardless of if I'm tired.
Right.
Or regardless of if I have a busy morning, or regardless of anything, I think that it's important that we are intentional about making sure that we show each other that we love each other.
Right.
You got it? Like, I'm not so busy, or you're not so busy to run out the door if one of us, typically we're always together, but, you right. know, if you're going to run out the door and you're heading to the door and you realize, oh, I ain't kissed my man, you're going to run back and kiss your man. You understand what I'm saying? And then you're going to run out the door. So it's intentional.
It's intentional.
Not, you know, well, he'd be all right. I'm going to get in the car.
Right.
I'll see him next time.
Right.
You don't think anybody does that, do you? People don't probably
I don't
do
think
it.
People
no,
do
people
that.
Don't do that. All right. So,
like that,
so,
no.
so be intentional.
Be intentional.
Go ahead.
Be intentional. But no, you do things because, again, it's not all about how can I benefit from it. But it's a matter of just making sure that, you know, I'm doing all I can to make those deposits that my spouse know that I'm there for them, that I love him, that I, you know, that I'm always going to be there for them. And I was just thinking a moment ago, you know, you don't do things, you know, to hurt yourself. So why do you do things to hurt your spouse?
Right.
You intentionally do things to make yourself feel good. You speak well about yourself to try and encourage yourself. So the same thing you do for yourself, you want to do for somebody, for your spouse. So you intentionally speak good things about them in public, you know, in home.
That's good.
You praise that person. So you want to always be that person to always, you know, make them shine, as you said, and make them feel good about knowing that I'm in this with somebody who has my back.
Right. And I think being intentional also has a lot to deal with, you know, well, I don't tell them I love them, but they know. No. You got to tell them.
You got to tell them, right.
You got it.
It can't
you know,
be assumed.
Right. You have to do things, you know. They know I mean well. No, there's some things you have to do. So you have to be intentional. And then you have to put time into your relationship. You got to put the time in. You got it?
Right.
Because we're talking about investing. So you have to be intentional. You have to put time into it. And so, you know, like I said, I can't be so busy that I, you know, that I'm heading. There's plenty of mornings I was already heading either to an appointment or to church. And I said, I'm going to go to Dunkin' Donuts, get her coffee, go back home, give it to her, and then head back.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm putting time into it.
Right.
Does that make sense? And I think that, you know, that is real important. We talk all the time.
Right.
Like, we don't have to sit down and have a meeting to communicate, because we communicate all the time. You got it? But for those that don't and that are learning communication, you have to take the time. So, okay, yeah, we need to stop, and there's some things we need to discuss and those kind of things. Like, well, I'm too busy. I got too much going on. You should never have too much going on
right.
that your relationship is down at the bottom of the list. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you don't give your spouse your leftovers.
Right.
Here, this is what I got. I got 10 minutes left. What you want?
Right.
No, that's not how we do this. We
right.
make sure that we put our spouses at the top of the list, and then, again, we go from there.
Yeah. And I always like to say, because we like to use the word top of the list, so what about God? God's at the center.
Yeah, right.
You got it. God is at the center of our relationship. You know, he's above top. You got it. He's Alpha and Omega,
right.
beginning and the end. All
right? Right.
So be intentional. Put time into it. And then stick with it. Stick with it, you know. Don't just do it, you know, for a week. Well, I'm gonna give it a week because that's what Pastor said. But it's old now, you know. It's got to become something that you do. All right. So let's put number one up on the screen. Number one, we said we are going to set a God first priority. Number two, we are going to invest in your relationship. And then number three, everybody say, start now.
Start now.
All right. 1 John 3:18 in the New Living Translation says, "Let us stop just saying we love each other. Let us really show it by our actions." Mm. Now, that's a good verse right
yeah.
there. You got it? Because love, you've always heard me say this, is an action word.
Right.
Love is an action word. Brothers, you say you love your wives. Okay, show me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not show me, show them. You got it? You know, and I really believe in that. And I'm not saying that you have to go and, you know, do something outside of your means. I'm not talking about that. You understand?
Right.
Even if it could be, you know, if she likes stuffed animals, a $20 stuffed animal, you know, don't buy the $9 one, you know, buy the $20 one. But you know what I'm saying? You know, and so I'm saying, but, you know, love is an action word. Love is an action word. And it has to work on both ways.
Right.
All right? So let's go through them. Number one, when you think something good, say it. When you think something good, say it.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, I think this all the time. I'm not sure if this was this morning or last night, and I told you how nice you look. And you were almost, not like surprised I said it, but you weren't thinking about it because we weren't trying to go anywhere or anything.
Right.
Well, but just it came to me. I was like, that girl is fine. You understand? So I told her, you know, so when you think something, say it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be amazed at how far that goes in the relationship.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you when you think something special, do it. I ought to.
Right.
You know, I ought to. Ladies, what should he do?
Wash
the clothes.
See, look.
Okay.
He knows. So, yeah. Well, you ought to wash the clothes.
No, listen, that's good.
But you need
because
to
you know what works in the relationship.
Right.
And so, you know, like, you know, if laundry needs to be done, and I'm going to go do it, you know, and it comes to me, you know, I ought to wash the clothes. Now, I was thinking about buying y'all something, but we'll go with clothes, you know. And
that's
so
that's a big help. I don't know about any other wives. Yes, help me with the laundry. I'll take it any
yeah.
day. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you do help me a lot.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel good about me. No, I'm just saying, I clean the house.
He does.
I do it all. You got it? I'm just like, when you know.
Look,
when
I have been blessed by the Lord
the
Most
jackpot.
High.
Look, I clean.
I daily thank him. Thank you, Lord.
All right. When you think something good, say it. When you think something special, do it. When you want something different, be it.
Wow. That's good.
You got it? You got it? You know, I want our relationship to go to the next level, but I need her to step up her game. No, why can't I step up my game?
Right.
Does that make sense? And so let me do my thing and step up my game,
right.
And game recognize game.
Oh, yeah.
You understand what I'm
right.
saying? And then it's going to be on.
Right.
Y'all
right.
understand? Did y'all, was that too deep for anybody?
No.
You got, okay, all right. You know, game recognize game, you understand?
Right.
Good game, you understand?
Right.
All right. And so, all right, here we go. Number one. Set a God first priority. Number two, invest in your relationship. Number three,
start now.
And number four, because we got to get out of here, keep no records of wrong.
Ooh.
Everybody just say, ooh. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Keep it calm. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Before we get into this, and this is good, I think that we have to understand, you know, this is true, that love doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep the sin of others, but we shouldn't keep any record of wrong. But just because you shouldn't keep a record of wrong of me doesn't give me right to do wrong. Does that make
right.
sense?
Right.
It doesn't, you know, like if I made a mistake, I appreciate you. You
right.
got it. Forgiving me, covering me.
Right.
But it doesn't give me the justifiable right to continue to do wrong.
Right.
And I think that that's where we have to be careful, because sometimes we're like, well, you know, that's what Pastor said. Don't keep no record of wrong, but you can't do wrong every day.
Right.
You got it. What am I saying? If my heart is right, and I'm on the road right, and I end up doing something wrong,
right.
that I get it right.
Right.
You got it with God. I get it right with you. I admit it and I quit it. But watch this. But because I know you're not going to keep record of wrong doesn't mean that it gives me the license to keep doing wrong.
Right.
Does that make
sense?
Because
you don't know how long that person is going to keep forgiving you for those wrongs. And so the grace, it runs out.
babe, don't say that.
I'm just, okay, for me, because it would never happen to us, the grace would run out if it was habitual.
You don't know that. Don't say that.
You're not going to do wrong.
You're right about that.
I know.
But I'm saying, because, you know, people are struggling, and so I don't want the grace to run out.
Okay.
So, Courtney, we got to go. No, because you might have a show. You're right, lady. Show is about to cross it. It's about to run out this afternoon.
No. I mean, everybody. No, I'm just saying.
We's going to divorce court.
I'm not giving anybody that.
You go home and tell them it's over. This is what lady said.
No, I did not say that.
The grace runs out.
I did not say that.
I know that's not what you meant.
I did not say that.
So that's why we're straightening it out right now.
I was speaking for LaConte.
Yeah.
Yes. You do what you have to do.
But see, you have to understand. That is her, based on her relationship with me.
Right, that's what I said.
Yeah, you're right. You know, but I'm just, I'm clearing it up, because that's based on her relationship with me. And I'm not trying to act like I'm the world's best husband or anything,
right.
but I don't do wrong. And, you know, I mean, y'all understand, I might get upset, but I'm talking about like sin, and I just don't.
Right.
Why? Because I made a choice, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
I just made a choice, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
Because sin is only pleasurable for a season. You got it. You got it. You know, that you know, that's only pleasurable for a little while.
Right.
And so anytime you're enticed, male or female, to do something that's crazy, this is what you have to do. You have to maximize the consequences and minimize the pleasure. Everybody say maximize the consequences.
Maximize the consequences.
Minimize the pleasure.
Minimize the pleasure.
All right. And so no, we don't keep record of wrong, but it doesn't give us a license to do wrong.
Right.
And I think that is what we have to understand. You got it. You know, and so, and you know, well, Pastor, what if he keep doing wrong? Well, then you're going to need to get some help.
Right.
And don't be too ashamed to get help.
Right.
Because when you're in a bad place and you need help, and then you go to an incredible church like this where there is help,
right,
don't have too much pride not to get the help you need.
Right.
Does that make sense? No, because at the end of the day, I just got to work always.
Absolutely.
You got it? And if we were in a situation, I probably wouldn't want to go to Bishop Hilliard. But you know what? If that's what it took to
right.
keep this together, then that's what I would do.
Right.
You got it? But I made the commitment that I ain't going to do anything to get to that.
Right.
You got it? Because first of all, my relationship with God is too important.
Right.
My relationship with my wife is too important. You got it? My relationship with my children are too important. And my relationship with you is too important.
Right.
So I'm not perfect. Okay, so I'm pastor not acting like, pastor never said he's perfect. You got it? There's times I get mad like you get mad. You understand what I'm saying? Those kind of things. But what you won't see, you got it, is me in the paper for doing some foolishness. You understand what I'm
right.
saying? That's what you won't see. You got it? And so... All right, did y'all get blessed?
Yes.
We'll give the Lord a hand praise all over the building. While we're closing, because we're going to pray, we just want to pray for marriages on this morning. Proverbs 10 and 12 said, hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers all wrong. So I got to make a choice. Psalms 130 and 3 says, Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, who, O Lord, could ever survive? So I don't forgive because I want to be forgiven. I forgive because he's already forgiven me.
Right.
And that is how you live your life. Not just in relationships with your spouse, but in every relationship. Because how many know that in every relationship that you have, at some point there's going to be some tension. At some point, you know, there's going to be a miscommunication. There's going to be an argument, you know, with your friends or your coworkers or your neighbor, you know, and those kind of things. And it might have been wrong, but you got to forgive.
Right.
You got to let it go based on the fact that Jesus forgave you and he let it go. So why would I not extend you the same grace
right.
that's already been extended to me?
Right.
Does that make sense? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying.